This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, you pray for all of us that we may be one, and yet we are so quick to forget that, to point out our differences instead of what unites us. Help us, Lord. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, our very bodies, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. It is only fitting on this particular weekend that we begin with a video in honor of Memorial Day.
Sometime back, I received in the name of our country the bodies of four Marines who had died while on active duty. I said then that there is a special sadness that accompanies the death of a serviceman, for we're never quite good enough to them. Not really, we can't be. Because what they gave us is beyond our powers to repay. And so when a serviceman dies, it's a tear in the fabric, a break in the whole, and all we can do is remember. It is, in a way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country, in defense of us, in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country. For us, we owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them and what they did and why they had to be brave for us.
So if you would be willing, if you know of anyone who died in military service, if you would just please stand and say their name. Just stand up and say their name. In the back. Thank you. You may be seated. And now, if on Memorial Day, I know that we just honor the people that have died while serving in the military, but I would also like to honor all who have served in the military. So if that is you, would you please stand? We thank you for your service. You may be seated. You may be seated. And we thank our mothers and our fathers who served in all different kinds of wars and who are serving now. It's unifying for us to notice this weekend, and I'm hoping that in our gatherings over the next 2 days, today and tomorrow, that we'll remember why we have the day off. And maybe just mention something about it if you gather with family or friends. And then I would also very respectfully ask that we expand this unity to include all people. All people. The way that Jesus teaches us. Not only our enemy, not only those we love, but our enemies as well. It's tough stuff, but that's the gospel, my friends. So I would ask that we honor all people, and to remember that Jesus was not an American. Just saying that. And Jesus was not a Christian. Think about that one for a minute. Jesus began the way, led the way as a Jew. We think about that for a minute. He's always calling us to expand our boundaries, to expand our understanding of what this radical gospel is. It's not God on one side of a battle and not on the other. I dare say, I've not ever served in the military. My father did, my grandfather did, my brother did. I have an uncle who did. But I would dare say that the people who have served in the military, and especially in war, wish that they hadn't had to do what they had to do. Am I right? Right? And so it gives me pause then to think about that, because we do honor that sacrifice, because right now, unfortunately, that is our reality as a humanity. It is our humanity. It's a sad thing, but it's reality. But as Christians, have no doubt that our calling is to bring about God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and to realize that we are one human family. And we've got our problems. Yes, we do. But we are one. Jesus knew that the disciples would need to know this strength, this knowledge of this oneness. And so at the Last Supper, after he's been giving his farewell speech, they're gathered around the dinner table, and he's telling them goodbye and giving them all kinds of instruction. In today's gospel, he stops there, and it's right before he's about to go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he goes into prayer to God for them, and it extends to us. And I would also venture to say, and this might be a very radical statement for some of you to hear, but I would venture to say that Jesus wished that he didn't have to do what he did. He prayed that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me." He did what he had to do for us. Can you imagine if all the people living at that moment that were hearing his message got it? Can you imagine? I know that I can be a cockeyed optimist, but I also know that Christ believes in us. We're made in the image and likeness of God. So he's praying this prayer to them to realize that they are one, as you and I are one, he prayed to God. And also, he prayed for their protection. He prayed for their protection. It's called the high priestly prayer to God, a prayer for all humanity, that they may be one as we are one. Jesus knew that they would need the strength to face that coming night and the next day and then that sad Saturday, and that they would even need the strength to face the realization of the resurrection on Sunday night when they finally saw him in the flesh. He knew that. And lo and behold, that resurrection happened. And Jesus was with them again for 40 days, right with them in the flesh and blood, healing and doing miracles, just like before, only different because something earth-shattering had happened. And then on the 40th day that he was with them after the resurrection, this happened. Is it green?
When the apostles had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven."
So they stood there mesmerized, I'm sure. Here Jesus just disappears, and then two men in white appear before them, and then this happened.
Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James' son Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers.
So maybe they had started to get this message of unity. They were all gathered together, and now the family of Jesus had come. His brothers came, his siblings, his mom came, and other women, it says, and they were all together. And they were there waiting and waiting because they weren't quite sure. He had talked about the coming of this Holy Spirit, and yet they weren't quite sure. And it would happen in 10 days after the ascension, 10 days, on Pentecost Sunday. We celebrated the day in which Jessica and Michael just spoke. Last Thursday was Ascension Day. We celebrated it here. And so if you count from Ascension Day to Pentecost, that's 10 days. And so we're like day 3 if we're sticking with the church year in the waiting, in this in-between time of when Jesus left them and the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's a time for reflection. It's perfect that Memorial Day would be happening in Ascension-tide. It's perfect for us to be able to reflect about times in our lives when we are in between. Maybe it's because, like the disciples had experienced when Jesus died, maybe when someone has died in our lives and we're in that space where we are not sure what's happening. It's this in-between moment. Or maybe it's when you're in middle school and you're not a child anymore and you're not an adult anymore. Remember that? I don't know if we have any middle schoolers here, but your emotions are all over the map. You're not quite either one. It's that middle space. We call it liminal time. Or maybe during pregnancy when you know this amazing thing is going to be happening. Or maybe you're waiting for pregnancy, or in between jobs, or homes, or uncertain economic or political times. We can be reminded to be in unity during these times especially. And even though it's difficult, we can shift our awareness to hope, even in tears, for opening, even in our sorrow, for patience, even in doubt. Hard times can be seen, as St. Gregory of Nyssa called them, they have a dazzling darkness. A dazzling darkness, even though we don't even want to think about that. We're in the real dregs of something dark happening in our lives. And yet he reminds us that God is not only seen in the light, but also when things are cloudy or when things seem dark. And it's hard to see that glimmer. We may have to pray. We may have to wait. And we may have to lean on other people. And we may have to ask for help. Yay. Because it shows how we are, this one body. God believes in us. And we don't think about that very often. We always are told to believe in God, but we need to also know how much God believes in us. Or we would not have been given the confidence and the compliment of Jesus leaving. Because he's saying we can do this. And so, hence, the gift that you might have seen. Because it's a great gift that we've been given, this confidence. Two angels are talking to Jesus just after his ascension, and they are expressing their concerns for what they see in some of the wretched behavior of the human beings on earth. They say, Jesus, we just don't know how you can trust them to really carry on your work. Oh, there are a few who seem to get it, but we just don't know how you have faith in them at all. What's your backup plan? And Jesus says, there is no backup plan. We can do this. We can do this. Because we don't do it alone. That's the gift here. The gift of the Holy Spirit is alive and well, and that is the kind of God that we worship. That is the kind of God that we serve. So stay close with one another this weekend and beyond, and then come and celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit with us next weekend. Amen.